Well, good morning, friends, and happy Tuesday morning to you. Hopefully you are having a great morning so far. Welcome to another episode of Good Morning Live. Now, we'd like to remind you that if you are watching from any of our platforms, we are typically streaming from X and TikTok and Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. And of course, around the world on the Pioneer Channel. But if you are on one of those social platforms that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, please do so. Chat in, let us know that you're watching today. It's always great to connect and let our online community see and know who they are starting their good mornings with. So, yeah, this week we have started a new series of messages on hearing the voice of God. Yesterday, we talked about it being your birthright to hear the voice of God. And man, I just so love that because, we don't hear the voice of God because of our actions and as it's some kind of reward. We hear the voice of God because he's our father and we are his children. And so it's our birthright to have access. And obviously through the cross, through the work of Jesus, that gives us our birthright to have access to the Father. So we hear him because of the work of the cross. So we have access to the voice of God. So what I submitted yesterday was that God is always speaking, but if we're not hearing him, it's often not that he's not speaking. It's often that we are not listening. So yesterday we dive into the fact that he wants to speak to you. He wants to communicate to you, that his desire is that it would be like it was in the Garden of Eden, that he would just come down in the cool of the day and talk with you and have fellowship with you. And he's interested in the minute details of your life, the theology or the mentality, if you will, of the world that says, well, you know, God's got bigger problems than my stuff. Listen, God can handle your stuff and the big stuff. You know, that involves the world, right? And he's interested in the details of your life. And it's not that he doesn't already know them, but it's he wants you to talk to him. This work of the cross brings us back to, again, how it was in the garden, where he just wants to have fellowship and relationship with you. So yesterday we looked at how that is the first step to really being able to receive from God, is to change your mentality. And not see God or picture God as this, you know, big giant in the sky who you just, if you can maybe pry open the windows of heaven, maybe he will hear you, maybe he will answer. No, the Bible says before you can even form his name on your lips, he is already there. He said, you draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs that are on your head in any given moment. He has seen every single tear that falls. He knows your comings and your goings. He knows everything there is to know about you in every second. He is intimately acquainted with you. So this isn't a God that's far and distant that is trying to see whether or not you can climb your way into his graces for him to hear you. No, this is a God who is intimate with you. This is the God who is with you every moment. This is the God who neither sleeps nor slumbers, but watches you as you do. This is that God. So when we begin to change our mentality and realize that God wants to have communion with us, that's why he says, acknowledge me in all your ways. Everything you do, just acknowledge me. Commune with me, do life with me, and I will direct your path. When you begin to change your mentality, now you are approaching God with this level of expectation that I'm expecting God to speak to me because he wants to. He's not holding out on me, trying to see, well, let's see if they figure it out or if they make a total mess of their life. No, he says, just ask and I will answer. That's all. He says, just ask and I will answer. So when you begin to change that mentality that God's not distant, he's not far, he wants to speak to you. That is the first, I believe, roadblock, if you will, to really receiving and hearing from the voice of God, is that mental switch of knowing he wants to speak to me. So today we're going to go a little bit deeper in this thing. By the end of the week, we're going to know that we're hearing the voice of God. But today we're going to talk about silencing or tuning out the noise. Because if God wants to speak to us and we believe that he is speaking to us, well, why sometimes are we not hearing? Well, I believe that God's speaking, but oftentimes we don't hear him, and it's not because he's silent. And often it's not because we don't want to hear. I ask most people, I would say, do you want to hear from God? I believe most people would say, yes. Even if they're not a believer, they would say, yeah, I'd love to hear from God, right? But it's not because he's silent, and it's not because we don't want to hear. It's often because we are too distracted to hear his voice. Right? We're often too distracted to hear his whisper. So what we have to do is we have to learn to turn down the volume of the world so that we can tune in to hearing the voice of heaven. So I want to read you this verse of scripture found in 1 Kings 19:11. And it's a very familiar passage of scripture of Elijah. And he said, go stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind split the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake came, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire came, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice came to him and said, why are you here, Elijah? And then Elijah responds. So if you've been in the church a little bit, you might have heard this verse of scripture before, but it's a powerful reminder that God's voice wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in the wind, it wasn't in the fire. But how God was speaking was despite all of that, but it was the still, small voice. That's where God was speaking. And it's a lesson to us in that often the louder the world gets, the more subtle God may choose to speak. Why? Because intimacy doesn't need to shout. Intimacy doesn't need to shout. Whispers are reserved for those who are close to God. Why did God choose to whisper? He whispered because he was close. What God was teaching Elijah in this moment is, Elijah, I'm closer than you know. You're looking for me out there, outside of the cave. You're looking for me in the earthquake and the wind and the fire and the storm. That's where you think I am. But Elijah, I am so close to you in this moment that I simply whisper. But what is God teaching us there? That he wants proximity. Whispers are reserved for those who are close to him. James 4:8 reminds us of that. It says, God draws near to those who draw near to him. And here's what often happens is we're asking God, hey, would you speak a little bit louder in this situation? Would you scream so that I know that I hear? And God's saying, I don't need to scream. I just need you to come closer. I just need you, if you're not hearing, come closer. If you can't find my voice, draw closer. So because of that, the enemy's strategy is often noise and distraction, right? There's a spiritual battle for your attention. A spiritual battle for your attention. Let me read this to you in Mark 4, verse 19. And let me see here. But the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. You may know this story. It's the parable of the sower who sows seed. And Jesus gives this illustration of why different things cause seed not to work, or why, you know, when we hear something, it doesn't produce in its life. But in this verse of scripture, he just outlined three, noisemakers, if you will. Three things that cause noise in our life that is really the spiritual battle for your attention. Number one is the worries of this life. Number two, the lure of wealth. And number three, the desire of other things. What's interesting about this list that he lists here is these things aren't always sinful, right? Like, we understand that money is not the root of evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Things aren't evil within themselves, but the overwhelming desire for things and to covet things can be wrong, right? So, but here's the thing, is that these things aren't always sinful, but they can be distracting. The devil doesn't need to destroy you if he can simply distract you, right? Like, he doesn't need to send, you know, some kind of spiritual attack against your life and demons of hell chasing you down the street. And, you know, you're just like, you know, all he needs to do is hold something shinier, right? And your attention will get shifted. Man, I have seen so many people fall away from the Lord. And it started not because of some spiritual attack, but it's because something shinier in their life came along that pulled them out of the house of God, got them distracted. And as soon as they walked out of the house of God, they believed the lie, well, that I can do this all on my own, or I'll find a church eventually, or I'll get plugged in eventually, or we're just, you know, I'll just watch it on TV. And suddenly they begin to get distracted. They begin to, you know, lose their footing and their foundation. They didn't have a community of believers around them. They didn't have a pastor in their life saying, listen, we got to call this thing out. You got to walk the straight and narrow here. And suddenly you find them down the road. They're not committed. They're not serving God. They're not reading their scripture. They're not planted. They're not plugged in. And all kind of stuff is happening in their life. And it wasn't some great spiritual attack. It was simply the enemy coming in and holding something shinier in front of their face. And they got distracted. And I'm using maybe the extreme of that, but sometimes that happens in our day. What we need to do is we need to pause and start our day in the presence of God and asking God to speak to us and asking him for wisdom. Right? But the radio station seems easier. It's shinier, right? Like, you know, TikTok and Facebook and all those things seem shinier. And what happens is we begin to get distracted by those things and we lose our first love. When we lose our first love, we've completely lost our way. So the devil doesn't need to destroy you if he can simply distract you. So there are some signs of a distracted spirit to help us determine, hey, am I distracted? Well, one of them would be constant mental clutter. Like, there's just a lot happening in your mind. You're constantly mentally cluttered. You are never at peace. If you can't just say, you know what, in the last week, have I just decompressed? Pause. And we think Netflix does that for us, but actually science will prove that it doesn't. Like, within, you know, the hour show that you're watching or the hour and a half movie that you're watching, you know, you're watching somebody else's life come unraveled. Like, there's a lot of mental capacity that it takes to watch the drama of somebody else's life. Often that mental declutter happens in stillness and silence. It might mean going out to the yard or just pausing in your car before you go inside or whatever, where you're just in silence and decluttering. It doesn't mean scrolling on social media. It means I'm silent, I'm decluttering, I'm pausing the noise that's in my brain. You're often a sign of a distracted spirit is there's no margin for prayer or reflection. There's no space to pray or reflect or to pause. Another sign is that you're quick to worry and slow to hear. It, you know, often I told you the other week is that 365 times in this book, God says, fear not. But every single time he says, fear not, there was something to fear in the natural. You know, when the angel appeared to Mary, there's a like, well, Mary, why fear not? Well, there's a massive angel standing in front of you that's about to announce to you that you are going to become pregnant, which pretty much means you're going to be shunned from your whole community, if not killed. because of an unwed pregnancy. There's something to fear in this situation. But the angel announces, fear not. Joshua, fear not. Well, let's look around. There's a city in front of you that has, you know, some giants in it that I'm calling you to go in and overtake. There's something to fear, right? But in spite of that, he says, fear not. And then he's like, he said to Mary, oh, highly favored one. When we're quick to worry and slow to hear, all we will see is the announcement of what there is to fear. But what changes is just like the angel said to Mary, oh, you are highly favored one. Well, there's something to fear, but in hearing that she's highly favored gives her the courage to know that she can move forward despite the fear. When he says to Joshua, fear not, but go and take this city. If he stopped there, if he was quick to worry and very slow to hear, then he wouldn't have heard the rest. Fear not, Joshua, because I go with you, right? So when we are quick to worry and slow to hear, we're often not hearing the word of the Lord that causes us to rise up in faith, to move ahead in spite of what there is to fear. Because a word from God will get you through any season. A word from God will hold you when all hell is breaking loose around you. A word from God will cause you to stand when everything else around you is falling down to the ground. A word from God will send you into the fiery furnace with a full confidence and faith, knowing that God will bring you out the other side of this thing, not even smelling like smoke. A word from God will cause you to stand firm in what you know that you know that you know when every naysayer is on the wall. As God's calling you to march around, right? Every naysayer is on the wall screaming at you, just quit, just stop, just give up. It's not going to happen. You're never going to win. It's never going to turn around for you. A word from God will keep you in that season. A word from God that came, I don't know why I'm preaching Christmas today, but came to Joseph and said, Joseph, Pharaoh is pursuing you. Not Pharaoh. Herod is pursuing you and he wants to kill baby Jesus. Get up from where you are. Go to Egypt. He told him then finally he led him back home. Then go back to Nazareth. Like it was a word that kept them safe and secure. A word to go, to flee, to move. It was a word from God that kept them. And it's a word from God that will keep you. So that's why when we are quick to worry but slow to hear what's happening, we are missing the word that we need to survive in this season. That's why hearing from God is essential. Hearing from God is super, the most important thing that we can have. Why? Because when the thing that comes that should cause us to fear, if we don't have a word to stand on in opposition to the fear, then fear will overwhelm us. So if we have a distracted spirit, we will be quick to worry, but slow to hear. Another sign of a distracted spirit is addicted to noise. TV, phone, music, conversation. If you can't sit in the car, quiet, in silence, you have a distracted spirit. And I'm preaching to the choir because so many times, God, I'm a music person, right? So if I'm in the car, I want some music going. And so many times the Holy Spirit has said, just, I need you to drive in silence. And sometimes it's not even like he's speaking to me or I'm hearing anything. It's just, he's trying to teach me, be in silence, decompress, don't be addicted to the noise. Because often, and then other times I'm driving in silence and it's like, some stuff's coming up, some stuff, some thoughts and some stuff that I've pushed down or I haven't really addressed are coming up and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to me. But if we can't learn to be in silence, we can't learn to be in silence. And I want you to hear my heart on this because that somebody can take this clip and run wild with it. But Christianity has let the world rob some things that the Bible teaches and other religions have stolen them that still are good at practicing them where we've lost it. Like you think of just, the religions that would meditate or chant, right? And you might think, well, that's weird. That's meditation's a Bible word. It says, take the word of God and meditate on it day and night. like chanting. Obviously, we don't believe in chanting as maybe other religions would, but it says to rehearse the promises of God. Like there is a space in your prayer life to be in silence, to meditate on scripture, think about the goodness of God in silence. Just keep repeating a scripture or, you know, rehearsing it. There's a space for that. You know, I think it's the Muslims, I could be wrong, but, you know, who stop and pray three times a day. Like, in those countries, they shut down their shops, they get their mats out, they kneel, you know, down on the mats, and they pray three times a day as a part of tradition. And we might say, well, you know, we're free from tradition. We are free from tradition. We don't specifically have to pray three times a day, you know, in that way and get down and kneel and pause everything else. But I also think there's power in that. And obviously they're not praying to the right true God, so hear my heart on that. But there's power in just putting in your life that, you know what, when I wake up in the morning, this is the first thing that I do. Or, you know, my drive to work, here's what I do. You set patterns in your life. When I go on my lunch break, not only do I eat my lunch, I read the word of God and I meditate. Or, you know, sometimes at night before I go to bed, I turn everything else off. I sit in silence and I meditate on the word of God. And again, I think sometimes in Christianity, we have shunned those things because the world has and other religions have taken those concepts and perverted them and abused them and used them, you know, to serve other gods. But these are things that the Bible lays out that are helpful to us, right? But we're like, well, I'll tell you what, I'll listen to another podcast or I'll listen to something else. And then we wonder why we can never discern the voice of God because we are so distracted. We never put rhythms in our life, just pause to clear the noise, to slow down, to begin to hear the voice of God. And we're saying, God, scream louder than Netflix, scream louder than the podcast, scream louder than the music, scream louder than my worry, scream louder than the voices around me. If you can cut through all that, God, then I know you're speaking. God says, what I'm after is the proximity. I'll whisper because I want you to come close. You've been struggling to hear the voice of God. It's probably not that God's not speaking. It's that you're not quiet and still enough to hear. Listen, when you are spiritually overstimulated, your sensitivity fades. God is probably speaking to you, but it's drowned out by everything else. Listen, stillness is a spiritual strategy. Not just silent. It's stillness is about focus. It's about a condition of the heart. Why? Because you can be quiet on the outside and chaotic on the inside. That's why Psalms 131:2 says, I have calmed and quieted myself. Jesus sets this example. Luke 5:16 tells us that Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer, for solitude. This is Jesus. You know, he only had 33 years on this earth, and only 3 of those years was he active in the ministry. And he only had those 3 years to radically revolutionize humanity as we know it. To preach the word as we know it. Like, he only had 3 years, but even in the weight that was on his shoulders of all that he had to do and accomplish while he was on this earth, he still took the time to withdraw, to go into silence, to go into prayer, away from the noise and the clutter. And how much less was the noise of his day compared to our day? Why? So that he could remain connected and focused on mission, and focused on his Father. He was God in the flesh, and even he needed to get alone to hear clearly. He didn't just pray, he withdrew. So let me give you really quick some practical steps to help tune out the noise. Number one, establish that daily quiet time. Just like I said, those other religions that, you know, will pause 3 times a day, literally close their shop and lose business so that they can practice their faith. How much more should we, serving the true God, establish patterns and rhythms in our life? That's why I tell people it's important, you know, to come to church. But you're establishing rhythms in your life. Establish a same time, same place every day. God, I'm meeting you. Like, I used to have an hour drive to and from work. This is years ago, and I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, I want you to anoint those drives as our meeting time. And can I tell you, I remember him teaching me to memorize Psalm 91. I was to memorize it. I hung it on the rearview mirror and I would start my drive quoting Psalm 91, getting it into my spirit. And I remember hearing the voice of God, connecting with him. I remember driving in a worship song coming up into my spirit. And it was so life, those seasons to me. Why? Because I designated a time that God, I'm meeting with you Monday through Friday. On that drive, I'm meeting with you. I won't let anything else take that time. No music, no anything. That's just me and you time, God. Begin with silence before you just start approaching God with your petitions. And God, I want this and I need this. And can you make that happen for me? Just pause. Make space, not just time. Turn off your phone notifications during prayer. No digital distractions, right? Maybe to set this off, you need to fast some distractions. Consider a no noise fast for 3 to 7 days, like no social media, no entertainment content, no unnecessary noise in the car or at home. And of course, if you got a house full of kids like me, good luck. But fill the silence with worship or with scripture. And listen, one of the hardest fasts I ever did years ago was no television. This is before I was married and had kids, but no television, no social media, nothing. And to come home from work and to sit in silence or just read was one of the hardest fasts I ever did in my life. Why? Because I was so wired to have chaos around me. So consider it. And then practice listening prayer. Instead of starting your request with speak, Lord, you know, with all your stuff, start it with speak, Lord, I'm listening. You have to set a timer for 5 to 10 minutes where you say, I'm just practicing sitting in his presence. I'm going to write in a journal what comes to my heart, but I'm just sitting in the stillness of his presence, right? Often, if you're at a concert and somebody calls you, the noise is blaring and the crowd's screaming, often that phone call will go unheard, unrecognized, unanswered. And it's not that somebody didn't call you, it's just that the environment that you were in was too loud for you to hear the call. I wonder today if God's not calling, if he's not speaking, if he's not drawing on your heartstrings saying, come closer to me. But our environment is too loud to hear the call and to hear his voice. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you today that I know that you are alive and well, and you are speaking to your people. You desire to speak to us about everything. You desire for us to do life together, commune together, fellowship together. But Father, often we have built lives that are so marked by chaos and fast-paced and noise in every which way. Screens around us 24/7, that we have become so consumed with the noise that we have lost the ability to hear the still, small, quiet voice of our Savior speaking. But today, Father, would you help us set healthy rhythms and patterns in our life to slow down, to remain still and quiet, go back out and connect in nature and hear you again. Would you speak to your people? Father, we believe that you are speaking. And we want to listen. Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on with me today. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And I will be back with you tomorrow morning as we continue this journey to hear the voice of God. So remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.